Welcome back to the Kevin O'Connor Show. NBA free agency is here. Today, let's talk about LeBron James, that whole crazy saga with Jovan Bua, and then later, 11 more things to watch for this NBA offseason. Here's Jovan. All right, Jovan, thanks for joining me today. What's going to go on here? What's going to happen? Is this going to be a big nothing story? LeBron's back with the Lakers and training camp in late September, or could this actually be the time that these threats, these early words from Rich Paul actually turn into some change this offseason for the Lakers, either to the roster or to LeBron going somewhere else?
I think it's going to be a big nothing burger. We've done this song and dance before with LeBron and Clutch. I think we've seen them apply public pressure through the media. And I think that's what's going on right now. At first, it felt like something could be different. And who knows, maybe this is going to play out that way and LeBron is going to ask out later in the summer. But I think realistically, at least with the conversations I've had since that statement has come out, most people are taking this as just the typical LeBron trying to apply some pressure and show the urgency of he might only play one more year or 2 years tops. And in that case, he wants to compete for that fifth championship. So he wants the Lakers to go out and trade the first round pick. He wants them to go trade Dalton Connect and put all their assets on the table and build the best roster possible. And he feels like there's been a shift toward Luka Doncic's timeline, which there's a little bit more of a runway there. They don't have to go for it with win now moves for this upcoming season. So I think it's more so just him applying that public pressure, and we'll see. Like, I think there is a lot of pressure on them just in general because of the Luka extension, and that's looming over all this. And what does Luka want? How does he view the timeline? Is he okay with like a gap year sort of in between now and 2026 when they could have upwards of $80 million in cap space? So I think that's actually the most important thing with all this is like, what does Luka want? How does he feel about all this? But my understanding for now is that I think this is more so just LeBron trying to put some pressure on them to increase the urgency.
As they should, though, right? I mean, like, you got Luka, who could be getting in the best shape of his career. He looks great in the photos that we've seen. And, like, obviously, he needs to keep the weight off through the whole season. And that's the big challenge with him. But you got Luka, who's, you know, top five. Maybe this is his MVP year. And then LeBron, he's still top 10. At worst, he's still a top 15 guy at this point of his career. So if you're the Lakers, you have these two elite talents still. To me, like, you should be going all in here. And if anything, with Luka, we've seen how quickly windows can shut. We've seen how primes can end sooner than late than you expect. And so I think if anything, Rich Paul speaking on the record the way he did, not only was he speaking for LeBron, he might have been doing Luka a favor by putting some pressure on Palika and Genie. You know, that's the way I come away with it. It's like he's kind of speaking for both LeBron and Luka.
I'm with you. I think they should be going for it. I think looking at free agency, there aren't really needle movers out there for them at that 5.7 taxpayer MLE. And then if Dorian Finney-Smith leaves, and even if they replace him with a DeAndre Ayton, a Brooke Lopez for that 14.1 non-taxpayer MLE, you're still losing that rotation spot in Dorian Finney-Smith, because like right now they're projected, you know, or as recently as a few days ago, they're projected to keep Dorian Finney-Smith and then be adding another center with that 5.7. But if you lose
not
DFS,
looking good. Even if you get not looking good. It sounds like Houston more years and more money. It sounds very bad for the Lakers there. I mean, you do get the 14.1 as you said, but it's not good.
That's a big loss. That's also someone that Luka has a great relationship. That's arguably the player he's closest with on the team. It's the person he's played the most games with in his NBA career. And they have a great, you know, locker room dynamic. So I think that that's a big loss for the Lakers. And they also invested, they traded the expiring of D'Angelo Russell plus 3 second round picks to go get DFS and then to just lose that. And again, yes, you get a better free agent and you have about $9 million more to spend in free agency, but you're still losing that roster spot, that rotation spot. So I think there's also a trickle-down effect of right now, there's been some conversation about potentially trading Rui Hachimura. But if you lose Dorian Finney-Smith, all of a sudden Rui Hachimura becomes even more valuable. And now you have to consider potentially not putting him on the table. And if you don't put him on the table, that's almost $20 million in expiring salary that you don't have to trade. So there's a real ripple effect to potentially losing DFS that was not, I think, on the table as recently as a few days ago. So yeah, the Lakers are in a tough spot right now.
So I put on a poll on X last night after the DeAndre Ayton news came out that he was being bought out by the Blazers. I said, Lakers fans, who would you rather be your starting center next year? 60.9% of respondents said DeAndre Ayton. 17.9% said Clint Capella. 15% said Brooke Lopez. And then I also put Jackson Hayes on there as a joke. 6.2% said Jackson Hayes. I know. I count him as like the view results option on the poll.
Yes. So,
but DeAndre Ayton, the overwhelming choice from Lakers fans and whoever else were the 19,000 people that voted. Is Ayton your first choice for the Lakers to be their starting center next season? No.
So, well, among free agents, yes. I think he's the best realistic option in free agency. I have two guys. So I have a center list that I put out on my YouTube channel of my top 10 centers via trade and free agency. Ayton was third on that list in tier two alone. For me, tier one is Nick Claxton at number one and Daniel Gafford at number two. A couple issues there. Nick Claxton just is making mid-20s. So to get to that salary, Lakers have to put realistically three players on the table. And then there's the matter of, are they putting first in there? Are they putting Dalton Connect in there? Are they putting both? So he's expensive to go get from Brooklyn. And then Daniel Gafford, I don't see Dallas and the Lakers making another deal right now, at least. It was interesting that he extended and they kept it within the trade and extend rules where he's still trade eligible. And I think it's even a better contract now because you don't have the uncertainty of free agency looming with him and having to figure that out. So he's under contract. I think it's a team friendly deal. But those guys, to me, they're rim protectors, they're rim runners, they're good pick and roll partners for Luka. They play with a certain level of physicality and energy. With Claxton, he's more of a finesse, but he's got versatility defensively. Then with Gafford, he's more of a power big. But both guys are really good finishers and I think would be upgrades, kind of the Jackson Hayes archetype, but at a much higher level. And there's a reason why those guys are getting paid, 20 plus million. With Ayton, though, I think looking at his, I've did film deep dives on all these guys, and his defensive film, I think, is better than people often talk about. I think switchable. There's some versatility there.
Like, he can move.
He's switchable. Yes. I was watching him switch onto Giannis, and I was like, he's holding his own relatively against Giannis, especially for like a seven foot one center. Shot over 80% at the rim. He's an elite finisher. He's got an array of hook shots, floaters. He's a lob threat. It's not really thought of that way, but is a lob threat. So I think from like an offensive skill perspective, he's probably the best that they could do. Can be a dribble handoff guy. He's got some passing chops, though did average more turnovers than assists last season, which I think is a little bit of a concern. But if you could get him to buy in defensively and lock in the way he did in like 2021 and 2022 in Phoenix, we've seen like that team made the finals. That team won 60 games. So I think he can be part of a winning culture. It's just been a few years since we've seen that from him.
I think Ayton is the no-brainer of all the choices. Even if you have to give him the full mid-level $14.1 million to get him, I would go that route. And if you could get him for just a partial, like $10 million of the $14.1 million, and then you use the remaining $4.1 for Bruce Brown or Larry Nance Jr. or somebody like that.
Would love
like
Bruce
that's
Brown.
The best. Yeah. Bruce Brown would be awesome. It seems like
they've wanted him since 2023. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been multiple years now of wanting Bruce Brown. So I think for the Lakers, that's the best case. Lose Dorian Finney-Smith if you do lose him, which it seems like you're going to Houston or somebody else. You get Ayton and then you sign somebody else. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to end up with another big. I don't know what the market's going to look like out there for Brooke Lopez or Clint Capella. Maybe those guys are veteran league minimums. Maybe there's situations where you go get another big in trades. Like you had your guys in your tier one of the list. Maybe they're unrealistic, but you could go out and get some other guys. It's just a matter of what are they willing to put on the table. And to me, you mentioned Rui Hachimura earlier. If you lose Dorian Finney-Smith, it's a lot harder to give him up, but I'm still looking at Austin Reeves. Reeves is 27. He has 1 year remaining on his contract. He's a bit redundant with LeBron and with Luka. And even if you just look at him as a piece next to Luka, the lack of lockdown defense between those two guys is a little bit concerning. Dalton Connect, they already traded him once. Nothing stopping him from trading him again. I mean, you get expirings. Gabe Vincent, Maxi Kleba, Jordan Goodwin, 11.5 for Gabe Vincent, 11 million for Kleba, 2.4 for Goodwin, who had a team option. So you have those guys. You have the 2031 or 2032 first round pick that you can trade. And then you can trade up the four swaps in 26, 28, 30, and 31 or 32. So they have assets. It's just a matter of, as we said earlier, do they want to use this as a buy year with Luka, or do they want to use this as an opportunity with Luka and LeBron, or trading LeBron, to maximize their chances this year around Luka when this could be, and you hope it is, his MVP season? That's just, what are you going to get out there? I have an article out on Yahoo today where I have three guys as bigs, forwards, and guards that would make sense to me. So I'm going to throw those at you, Jovan. For bigs, I've got Walker Kessler, Isaiah Stewart, Yves Missy, New Orleans. For forwards, I've got Herb Jones, Miles Bridges, Jeremy Grant. And for guards, I got Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, and Devin Carter. Do any of those names to you stand out as like, ooh, like he'd make sense to trade Austin Reeves for, or to trade a future first-round pick for?
Walker Kessler is the one I look at, and the Lakers have been interested in Kessler for the last couple of years. I know that they've wanted to keep Austin Reeves out of those conversations with Utah, but I did wonder yesterday if with the LeBron applying public pressure and you're just making it clear that he wants them to do something, otherwise he would potentially be asking out. Like, does that increase their potential urgency with an Austin Reeves trade? I think Kessler for Reeves is an interesting one, just in terms of strength and skill set. Now, I will say Utah with this Sexton trade, like it seems like they're going in a different direction in terms of empowering their young ball handlers and guards. And I don't know if they're building their offense around Ace Bailey now or like what they're doing, but it seems like that they want to tank next season and you know, really see what they have with some of these younger ball handlers that they have. So I don't know if they'd want Austin Reeves necessarily. I feel like Walker Kessler probably fits their timeline more. They've also had a really high price for Walker Kessler going back to last season. The Lakers offered the Mark Williams package for Walker Kessler. They offered Dalton Connect, a first round pick, and a swap, and Utah said no. Their starting price was two first round picks and a good young player. So I think there might just be an issue there in terms of how they value Kessler versus how the Lakers value Reeves. Herb Jones is the other one that you said that I think is really interesting, whether it's Herb Jones or Trey Murphy. I think either one of those New Orleans wings would make a lot of sense next to Luka. If there's a way to get Herb Jones next to Austin and Luka, I think that would actually plug a lot of the holes around those two guys and make that trio, fit together pretty well. So I think the Lakers have to, explore everything. But as of right now, I just continue to hear they have no interest in trading Austin Reeves. They value him as a pillar of the franchise, and they ideally want to find that next star to replace LeBron and then have that player, Luka and Austin, moving forward.
I mean, look, I think for the Lakers, they should think about it. It's just a matter of what deal actually makes sense to you. Because I think with Reeves, only 27, if you do lose LeBron either this summer or next summer or the summer after that, in theory, Reeves could be a 25 point per game guy. Like he's a really talented scorer, a talented playmaker. Maybe with more opportunity, he can do even more for you. And he's become a good shooter too. But I think I get it from LeBron's perspective, because Reeves is a bit redundant with you and with Luka, and he is a tradable piece. And plus with Reeves, he's going to be a free agent in a year. So Reeves at 13 million is like nice player, but at 25, 30, 35 or more million dollars per year, suddenly like there's more questions about some of the holes in his game at that point. So I think the Lakers should at least think about it there. But if it comes down to LeBron actually being like, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be traded. All the talk this morning has been about, well, there might not be a great return for him. There might not be a team that's willing to go all in. And I think when you look at the trades out there for him, it's like Cleveland, they're a second apron team. So they'd have to give up Garland and Allen and Struess, at least also involving a third team, in order to get to the money to get under the second apron and get LeBron James. If you look at the Knicks, they'd have to give up OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, and Deuce McBride in order to get to the money for LeBron and Bronny. And that's just one combination. It might end up being Mikal Bridges and a bunch of other pieces. It might be Karl Anthony Towns instead. Like, do you want that to be your all-in move? You mentioned the Mavericks earlier. It'd have to be Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, Cody Martin, Jaden Hardy, or Klay Thompson in there. Like, there's different combinations that work, but it makes sense in theory that LeBron might want to play with AD and Kyrie Irving, but do you want to go there if it's going to, you're going to, Dallas is going to gut half their rotation? I'm not so sure there. Like, to me, the only trades that make complete sense on paper are Denver, Michael Porter Jr., Zeke Nnaji, Dario Saric, and Julian Strother. That would assume LeBron wants to team up with Jokic, because for Denver, they give up a bunch of replaceable pieces, the pieces they don't need. LeBron's an upgrade from Michael Porter Jr. And then Golden State, because Jimmy Butler for LeBron James works straight up, one for one. It's an easy deal to make. That is very easy to make. So I think Golden State and Denver are the two teams I look at where it's like, okay, trades make sense. But other than that, Jovan, I understand why things are pointing towards it's hard to make a LeBron James trade, because teams wouldn't want to gut their own rosters in order to get a 40-year-old guy entering year 23, possibly in his retirement tour season at this point. What are you hearing about this situation, and what are your general thoughts on the potential trade market for LeBron?
I'm with you. I think that, you know, looking at it, I came up with four teams, which were similar to, you know, it was Cleveland, Golden State, Dallas, and New York. I have a hard time seeing him going to Denver. To me, LeBron is a big market guy. You know, no offense to mid and small size markets. I just don't see, like, outside of Cleveland, of course, which is home for him. I think if he's leaving, it's going to be, you know, Golden State or New York or Dallas, and, you know, that type of like top seven or eight market probably. But to your point, like playing with the trade machine, it was hard to come up with something that made sense. I think the Jimmy trade is interesting because it allows the Lakers to remain competitive and still have a top 30, top 25 guy replacing LeBron. So you are taking a step back just from sheer talent. LeBron was just the All-NBA second team guy, finished sixth in MVP voting. But like Jimmy Butler is still at that all-star level where you're not necessarily missing that much or taking that big of a step back and still putting a star around Luka. I think that the question for the Lakers, if they potentially trade LeBron, is how does that affect their cap sheet moving forward? And do they want to maintain that flexibility in 2026? Because realistically, if you are trading LeBron, you're probably not contending next season. I guess, again, Jimmy Butler might be the lone exception. But if it is a Gafford, PJ Washington, Klay Thompson type package from Dallas, like those guys fit well next to Luka. We've already seen that movie before. And we know like those two-way guys and Washington and Gafford were starters on the finals team.
They so basically be swapped. Swapping rosters, Jovan, over the course of 6 months.
Think about like LeBron, AD, Kyrie, Cooper Flagg, Derek Lively, like that's an incredible five-man, top of the rotation. But it's just tough to make, it's tough to make the math work. You mentioned Cleveland, like they have to, you know, they have to probably do some type of salary dump before they do a LeBron trade, or they expand it to a three-team trade. And then it's like, is that Jared Allen and DeAndre Hunter? Like, that's interesting. Those guys could fit around Luka and Austin, but I still don't know if the Lakers are quite at contention level at that point. So it's tough to see them remaining contenders if they trade LeBron. So in that case, I think it's more about the future. But then at the same time, most of these guys we're talking about here have multiple years left with their contracts. So it's like you're kind of locking yourself into whatever that roster looks like, unless you try to flip those guys, but we always know that's easier said than done. So I think the Lakers are in a fascinating spot in terms of if LeBron does put, you know, it gets to the point where he's not happy with the roster. Let's just say they only sign DeAndre Ayton. They don't make a trade. They lose DFS. And all of a sudden it's looking like a similar level roster going into next season. If LeBron demands out and they want to acquiesce that and you know, continue this reputation as being a star friendly organization, it's going to be tricky to figure it out, just because, again, a lot of these trades are going to mess up their cap sheet for multiple years. And I think they have to find that right trade where it doesn't do that. And as of now, I don't see that.
So on Sunday, in the hours after Rich Paul made that comment to ESPN, saying, you know, we want to reevaluate things and look at the future. We understand the Lakers are trying to build for the future. There were rumblings around the league that Clutch is angling for a buyout for LeBron. And that he opts in, and then it's some talks about a buyout. It seems so silly. But to your point, if the Lakers did want to maintain that reputation as, like, you know, treating their stars well, I do wonder if that could be an option on the table, if there are no trades out there that make sense for the Lakers and make sense for LeBron James. Like, do you think Jeannie Buss and Lakers ownership would acquiesce to that request if it did come at some point for a buyout involving LeBron James?
I have a hard time seeing that. I think him being traded and them recouping some assets. Like, one interesting thing I was thinking about yesterday, I went live on my YouTube channel, was asking different questions and someone, or answering different questions, and someone asked, like, does LeBron have more value than Kevin Durant? And I thought that, like, that Houston return that Phoenix got of Green, Brooks, and a first that ended up, you know, was the top 10 pick. Does LeBron have more value than that? And I'm not sure, just because of the, like, I think LeBron's a better player than Kevin Durant currently, but just based on the age, the mileage, and LeBron realistically only having 1 to 2 years left, where KD, I think, could play another 3 to 5 years. Like, I think KD might have a little bit more trade value, despite him never being happy with wherever he gets traded to. I think the Lakers would prefer to go that route and get a pick and maybe get an interesting young player. You know, like, if you trade with Dallas, could you get Max Christie back? That was someone that they really, you know, were fond of and did not want to include in the Luka trade. But of course, it's Luka, so you have to put him in. But, like, could you do something where you get an interesting young player back and a pick versus just buying him out? You're going to save some money, but now you have that salary on your cap sheet. Maybe if there were some bigger players in free agency in terms of cap space, and there was a way to kind of figure it out where maybe it's half his contract. And he could get that other half, because I don't think LeBron wants to leave money on the table, as we saw with him opting in, right? Like, he could have opted out and taken a pay cut and given the Lakers some more financial flexibility. He chose not to do that. So he still cares about the money. So I think it would have to be some type of thing where he has a buyout, but that's offset by his next contract. And as of right now, I mean, he could get $14 million from someone, but I don't think the Lakers would want that number to be much higher.
I think so as well. I mean, look, I'd be shocked if the Lakers were to do that. And also, I think if LeBron James is willing to be traded, someone's going to figure it out. Like, it's hard
someone
to get to the
will
money.
Trade for LeBron.
Yes, trade for him.
Basketball aside, like, he's such a, I mean, we're obviously talking about him right now, but, like, he is such a lightning rod of just attention that you can't calculate that value to a franchise, especially if it is a Denver or something like that. Like, it just vaults you into a different stratosphere.
I think Golden State's the most intriguing one to me, though, because LeBron and the Steph relationship, LeBron's past public comments and all that. And the only hurdle I see there is, I'm not sure Jimmy Butler makes sense for the Lakers. And so if you really want to get crazy, you could say that the KD to Houston deal involving Phoenix is not done yet. Like, it's still, you could add third teams or fourth teams. So I like to think about, well, Phoenix wanted Butler. So maybe you send LeBron and Bronny James to Golden State, Jimmy Butler to Phoenix, Kevin Durant to Houston, and then Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks to the Lakers. What do you think about that idea, Jovan? This is getting trade machine crazy here, but it makes some sense, right?
I can see it. I think some Laker fans are going to be upset with you for sending Jalen Green to he's a very polarizing player.
Yes. Next summer, as you said.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest. And then you also have the fit there with Jalen, Austin, and Luka. I just don't, I think that's compounding that issue of some overlap with the, you know, ball handling and ball dominance, and then also some defensive concerns. So, I mean, it would be funny, Dylan Brooks replacing LeBron in the starting front court, but I don't think the Lakers would do that one.
It's fun to talk about. And like
I like the idea, though, of expanding the KD. I like it in theory.
I mean, look, Phoenix didn't want Jimmy Butler. So if Jimmy Butler's out there,
yeah,
who knows?
I can see Phoenix pivoting and taking Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the Lakers would
not want Brooks and Green.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they want cap space. Who knows? Maybe you add a fifth team to that fun scenario. I mean, that's the thing. Like, a big thank you to Rich Paul. 30-team trade. Really, a big thanks to Rich Paul, because there's a chance LeBron is just back in L.A. And regardless of what they do this offseason, and he's with LeBron, it's LeBron and Luka next season, and who knows what the team looks like. But it's fun to talk about. And who knows what could actually happen, because I do think the Lakers should be feeling urgency. And I also think LeBron James needs to take advantage of his last year. You got to give yourself a chance to win another title, whether it's in LA or somewhere else. But Jovan, this is a lot of fun to talk about. Thank you for joining me today, man. Where can people find your stuff?
You can find me on YouTube if you just search Jovan Buha, or search Buha's Block on YouTube and all audio platforms.
Thank you, Jovan. All right, so that was Jovan Buha. Boy, I mean, good conversation. I can't wait to see what happens here, because how can you buy out LeBron? Like, what would that actually say to Luka if you do that? I just don't see it happening. A trade feels far more likely there. Anyway, we got some news already. Jabari Smith Jr. re-signed with the Houston Rockets for 5 years, $122 million. Good acquisition for them to keep him in the long term. Bobby Portis, 3 years, $44 million. Going back to the Bucks, we'll see what Brook Lopez, what happens with him. They could lose him. Clippers got back James Harden. He declined his option and then re-signed for 2 years, $81.5 million. It's amazing how at 35 years old, 36 next season, Harden feels restored, still a floor raiser for your team. And the Clippers, they still need more ceiling raisers. They still need more guys alongside Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. But one draft pick that I really like, the last pick in the first round, the Clippers got Yannick Kohnen-Niederhauser. And to me, he's the perfect addition for them behind Ivica Zubac, because he's a lob guy. Had 58 dunks last season in college basketball. He's a guy who can catch lobs from James Harden. I think that pick and roll duo when Zubac is off the floor could be really good for the Clippers, and fills a need for them at the backup center spot. So good for them to get Harden back, and we'll see what else they do this offseason. I think if Bradley Beal gets bought out from the Phoenix Suns, the Clippers are a team to look at for Beal there. Cleveland Cavaliers, they made a trade. They traded Isaac Okoro for Lonzo Ball. Straight up deal. I love the Lonzo addition for them. Obviously, we'll talk about Ty Jerome in a second, but Lonzo, the connective passing, the energy, the speed, that's what the Cavaliers were missing last year when they lost to the Pacers. Lonzo's like a Pacers-esque player, and so makes sense for them to add him. They also re-signed Sam Merrill to 4 years, $38 million, and getting Lonzo, re-signing Merrill, this all points to Ty Jerome is a goner. My league sources have said that Memphis is going to offer him around $27 million over 3 years with a player option on that third year. So whether it's Memphis or somebody else, it seems like Ty Jerome is a goner from Cleveland. And from the Grizzly side of things there, very, very interesting how this would be another ball handler they'd be adding. They drafted two guards in the second round, Javon Small and Jamai Meshack. Like, for Ja Morant, like, this, all these, you know, you already got Scottie Pippen Jr. on the roster. All of these additions point to ball sharing offense. A lot of guys that can play with him and behind him. So we'll see if Jerome ends up officially signing there later today, but interesting nonetheless. Nikhil Alexander Walker, he's a big free agent target for a lot of teams this offseason. It sounds like he's going to go to Atlanta in a sign and trade into a $25.3 million traded player exception the Hawks have. So Minnesota would be sign and trading him to Atlanta in this situation. And for the Hawks, if they do get Alexander Walker here, like, boy, like an A-plus offseason already, add another plus or another two pluses to the back of that, because you get Kristaps Porzingis for cheap. you trade down 10 spots in the draft with New Orleans. You get the guy you wanted to take at 13 anyway, and Asa Newell, a versatile defender, a guy who has a lot of raw talent on offense. And then you also get an unprotected Pelicans or Bucks first in 2026. And now you get Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and you still have a $13.1 million traded player exception you can use to go get somebody else. That could be an advantageous piece for them. So Hawks are looking good, man. Like they're looking like a really, really competitive team, especially in this very weak Eastern Conference. And bad news for the Pistons if they don't get Alexander-Walker. It seems like now they won't get him if he is indeed going to Atlanta, because now they have Malik Beasley caught up in this whole gambling scandal. Beasley, he is subject to a federal gambling investigation. All signs point to this being very, very bad news for Malik Beasley. I've heard the Pistons are already looking at some replacements. We saw them already draft Chaz Lanier in my draft guide. My comparison for Chaz Lanier was Malik Beasley. So I think the Pistons may have known something at the time they made that choice, considering his style of play as an off-ball shooter. Well, I've heard they're also looking at Duncan Robinson, a free agent from Miami. I've heard they're looking at Caris LeVert. Those guys are potential replacements for those Beasley minutes. And a trade that happened over the weekend that's kind of a weird one. The Utah Jazz traded Colin Sexton and a future second round pick to the Hornets for Yusuf Nurkic. First off, I like this for Charlotte because Sexton is somebody that can play with LaMelo Ball, or he's somebody that can help fill the gaps when LaMelo inevitably misses time. So it makes total sense for the Hornets to move on from Nurkic, who is well past his prime, and get Sexton for Utah. Sexton is a better player than Nurkic, like by far, like not even close. And you give up a pick to get off of him for Nurkic when you already have a ton of front court players already, a ton of centers. Nurkic doesn't fit your timeline. Could this mean more deals are coming? Could this mean that we're going to see a Walker Kessler trade? Could this mean that we're going to see a Lauri Markkanen trade? What is next for Utah? So I'm very, very intrigued by that. A lot of people around the league are wondering what the Jazz are cooking up in this situation. Good news for them is they got Ace Bailey. He arrived. He did his introductory press conference. You know, you saw the social media clip of him dunking in their practice facility. So they got their guy. Ace Bailey did end up showing up. We can at least for now stop all the talk about what's going to happen with him. He's in Utah as of now, and we'll be reporting to their summer league training camp. A lot could happen. A lot could happen. Free agency starts today. I'm sure we'll do another podcast. Maybe we'll do an emergency podcast at some point, depending on what ends up happening. So that's all we got for today. Big thank you to Jovan Bua for joining me. We'll be back again later this week. Thanks to Mike Stone and the whole team for producing this show. Have a good day.